Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we now ask that as we bow before you this afternoon, asking that you prepare our hearts to receive your word, cause, O God, that you hear this our prayer. We pray, dear God, that you cause that your word will be preached authoritatively, but with fresh insights, and also that this word will find room in the hearts of the hearers as well as the preacher. Our Father, we do acknowledge that we live at a time when many are using your word for personal gain. So we pray that you remind us of the warnings of the apostles and build us in your word and cause us to contend for the faith. Hear this our cry, O God, for we ask and we pray in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two Sundays ago, we considered verse 5 through to verse 7, and we are reminding ourselves of the warnings from the past as we looked at those examples that Jude gives us. We looked at the rebellion of the nation of Israel in failing to believe what God had said, those that came out of Egypt and were destroyed in the wilderness. We also looked at the rebellious angels who failed to keep their position of authority, and they were cast out from that position. And we remember the cities, the Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities that indulged in sexual immorality, and they were destroyed by God. And we saw that rebellion against God and what God has clearly stated will invite his wrath and his judgment. And this was the lesson that we drew from verse 5 through to verse 7. This afternoon we move to verse 8 through to verse 10. And we're seeing again that rebellion is a characteristic of religious imposters. Rebellion is what characterizes their lives. Those that are religious, but yet they are imposters in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we live in a world that is full of counterfeit. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not immune to counterfeit doctrine or teachings. False ideas and doctrines can pollute believers and can create a lot of havoc in the congregation. And so when it comes to spiritual teachers or spiritual messages, how can we identify what is true and what is fiction, or what is fact and what is false? How can we identify what is from God and that which is genuine and that which is false? And the passage that we'll be looking at this afternoon gives us some answers on how we can identify those who are living for God, those who are following the dictates of God, those who are following the word of God from those who simply want to use the word of God for personal gain. Jude gives us some insight and highlights some of the things that are common about those who are imposters. And those are the things that we'll be looking at this afternoon, even as we look at rebellion, a characteristic of the religious imposters. So let's consider the first thing that we see, and that's the cause of their rebellion. The cause of their rebellion. Let's read verse 8 again, and the first part of verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams. And Jude is immediately telling us there that religious imposters live in a dream world. Live in a dream, in a dream world where they set their own standards of what is wrong and right, and not necessarily what God's word says. And you notice that Jude turns from the Old Testament examples to a description of these rebellious characteristics of these subtle imposters. And he begins with the phrase, "Yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams." And what Jude is trying to emphasize there is that these individuals who found their way in the church have a lot of examples right before them, warning them of what they are doing. And yet, even though they see these examples, they persist in sin. The fact that these modern imposters have these clear warnings before them, their arrogance blinds them to the warnings of history. And Jude is saying, yet in like manner, these people also. He's just given us examples from the past about the nation of Israel, about those angels that rebelled, about Sodom and Gomorrah, and what was the characteristic of these cities, or these groups of people, these groups of beings. Why is it that they were destroyed? And now he likens them to what is prevailing in the church. He likens these individuals who's found their way in the church, and he's saying, yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams. And the cause of this rebellion is that they live in a dream world. In a world where they set what is right and what is wrong. They don't go to the scriptures and examine the scriptures and see what God says concerning what is right and wrong. They rely on their dreams. They have so much confidence on their dreams. And they depend and trust their dreams. And the word dream there is the impression of seeing something while you are sleeping. And so Jude is saying to us that these religious imposters that have crept into the church have this impression that they see some things through dreams, or as God speaks to them through dreams, and those dreams are what they depend on, and those become the standard of what everyone must follow. And the words relying on their dreams and the three verbs that follow, they are all in the present tense, indicating that this is not a one-off practice of these people, but it's their continuous lifestyle. It's not a one-off event. This is what they do. This is how they live. This is how they conduct themselves. They continue to live like that. And note that the participle relying on their dreams modifies all these three verbs that follow. Defile the flesh, reject authority, blaspheme the glorious ones. And Jude's point is that dreams are understood as the basis for their moral wickedness, or as the basis of everything they do that is contrary to what God says and requires of His people. They rely on their dreams as a justification of things they do. They depend on their subjective feelings of what must be done. And so they said, this is what God said to me in a dream. And when you examine what the message is, you actually see that that message goes against what God has revealed in His Word. And so Jude is saying that this is the cause of their rebellion. They rely on their dreams, and from their dreams, everything they do stems from them. And it shapes the cause of their life. Now this description reminds us of our so-called modern-day prophets, isn't it? Who claim that they've received a word from God. And yet with time, you begin to see that their lives are actually contrary to the very thing they're trying to promote. Their lives contradict the word of God. Their lives are not in line with God's word. It's because they live in a dream world. They are self-delusioned. They claim they've received a message from God, and yet their lives show that they've turned away from God. And instead of them feeding their minds on the truth of God's word, they are feeding their congregation on their dreams, which are highly subjective. And it's because they've rejected the divine revealed truth of God's word. And they've believed the lie of the devil, that God is actually speaking direct to them, and they're the mouthpiece of God, and they must bring God's word to His congregants that He spoke to them through their dreams. And this trend is promoting and producing strange Christians. Christians who don't show concern that they're stealing the glory of God. Because some of those who are being led have begun to put their trust in their leaders. And instead of Christians giving honor and glory to God, they are putting all that before their leaders. And the final authority of matters of life and doctrine are not so much invested into what the Scripture says, but into what these men of God says. And churches are slowly shifting from sola scriptura, from sola deo glory, to sola pastora, the man of God. And hence this trade is not only producing strange Christians, but it's producing laziness in God's people in personal Bible studies. Because they're not interested in opening up the Scriptures. They're interested in simply listening to what the man of God says. What is it that God has said through this man in a dream? And you are longing to listen to what this man will say. And not opening up the Scriptures. Sometime last year, I had a very interesting talk with someone when I was in Uganda, in Kampala. I was there for a pastor's seminar. And there was a church in Uganda that was actually encouraging members. In fact, they set a Sunday that all the members of that church must bring their Bibles so that the man of God can bend them. So when I inquired why, one of the members said, our pastor says he's not happy with the King James Version. Because the King James Version calls God the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. So how can God be a ghost? And so he said, bring all your Bibles, we'll bend them. I'll be telling you what God is saying. So when I asked this individual, I said, if he has a problem with the King James, why bend all the versions? Why not keep those that refer to God the Holy Spirit as God the Holy Spirit? But the point is simple. Stop reading your Bibles. Listen to me. I'll tell you what God wants you to know. You don't need your Bibles. You need me. And it happened. The Sunday came, Bibles were bent. All versions were brought to church, and the man of God bent them. Now this is what Jude is writing to believers, warning us, telling us that the cause of these religious imposters, the cause of their rebellion, is because they depend on their dreams, not on what God says. They have so much confidence on what they dream, and they bring their dreams to the people of God, and to make it sound authoritative, thus saith the Lord, or this is what God said to me in a dream, burn all your Bibles, and I'll be telling you what God wants you to know. And it was in that same week, still in Kampala, that I met a lady from that same church. And she had two pictures. One of them was the portrait of the man of God, and the other one was a picture of a church building that the man of God said. This is what God said to them, that that's the kind of church building he needs to have in Kampala. And so every member, depending on your status, you are given an amount to raise before the end of 2017. And this poor lady needed to raise something like 8,000 Uganda shilling. I'm not sure how much that would be in Kwacha or US. But this lady was so troubled because it looked like the months were going and the year was slowly coming to an end, and she didn't seem to be raising the money. And she was told, you only have a blessing from God if you bring this money so that the man of God can have such a beauty. And when Pastor Bill Issa, Pastor Sam Oluch and myself met this lady who was brought by a member of Pastor Issa's church, we began talking to her. And you could see how frightened she was. If she went against what this man of God was saying, something bad would happen to her. And this is what is happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Christianity. And you see why Jude is actually sounding out this warning to all of us, that we must contend for the faith and see these religious imposters, and how that at the root of their behavior is this rebellion against God and what God has said. And the cause of this all is because they rely on their dreams. And hence, moving from sola scriptura to sola pastora, whatever the pastor says, that's what we must do. So that's first thing, the cause of their rebellion. But let us look in the second place, the cause of their rebellion. The cause of their rebellion, or the progression of their rebellion. Again, Jude tells us in verse 8b and part of the, and verse 9. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And the cause of their rebellion is that they live to satisfy themselves. They live to satisfy themselves. And this is what Jude is saying, is that their lives are centered on themselves. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they blaspheme glorious ones. They can't even learn from what Jude is saying about the angel Michael. But everything, is centered on themselves. And you see, the list that Jude gives us, it begins with the individual, and then it continues to make progression until it rebels against the highest authority you can think of. And Jude is telling us there that the progression of their rebellion is at first is that they defile the flesh. And Jude is describing a mind and a conscience that is morally contaminated. And he's saying they defile the flesh. Now the word Jude used defile, in a ceremonial law or ceremonial sense, it means to make unclean or to be unacceptable. And when you read in John 18 verse 28, the word defile there signifies impurity, ceremonial impurity. And then when you read in Titus chapter 1:15, Hebrews 12:15, and here in Jude 1 verse 8, the word defile there refers to moral corruption, moral defilement. And it correlates very well there with the lifestyles of these individuals. When you go back in verse 4, where Jude is saying, they pervert the grace of God into sensuality. And because of that, they become morally defiled, polluted, contaminated. Their religion propagates bad doctrine, which leads to bad behavior. And what Jude is saying there is that these religious imposters do not in any way lift the moral standards of the people they are ministering to. They actually bring it down because they themselves are a bad example. And if their example is seen by their congregants and they're busy saying, "Thus saith the Lord," their congregants begin to follow the same examples. And the moral standards of the people goes down. Because what they teach produces bad behavior. And Jude wants us to see that these men defile the flesh. They contaminate themselves. They pollute their minds, pollute their bodies with all kinds of sensuality. And because of that, that's the behavior the congregants see and they begin to follow suit. And it's because they are spiritually dead and they do not have any inherent ability to resist the pollution of the mind, the heart, and the world. And so they pollute themselves with immoral extremes. They defile the flesh. And he said they don't just defile the flesh. They now go on to reject authority. And that's the cause of their rebellion. It's progressing from defiling themselves. They now move to reject any form of authority in their lives. Anything laid down is rejected. Now in classical Greek, the word there, reject authority, is used to describe the setting aside of a treaty or a promise. And in short, what Jude is saying is that these evil men that have come into the church set aside God's law and Christ's lordship over them, and they put themselves as the authority. They've set aside anything that is written, and then they put themselves as the law. And so they begin with themselves, defy the flesh, and then they move to reject any form of spiritual authority, but also any form of authority in their lives. Now, those who reject the authority of the scriptures also begin to reject those God has put in their place as figures of authority. So first of all, because they don't have the fear of God, why should they fear those whom God has put in place of authority? Because if they've refused and rejected their highest authority, they will have no problem to reject any form of authority in their lives. And so it's a chain reaction. God is thrown out of the picture, and any kind of authority will be thrown out. They reject God, and they reject any God-given authority to the point where they themselves become the authority. And this is the culture that seems to be trending nowadays, where we are encouraged to be the authority of our own destinies, of our own lives. And because of that, when, in a sense, we are being encouraged to reject any kind of authority there is. And this is what is prevailing all over. And even when it comes to the scriptures, instead of us following the authority of God, we become the authority in deciding what we should believe and what we should teach in the church of God. Why? Because we have no fear of the highest authority, God Himself. Then they'll have no fear to decide what should be taught from God's Word, and what they should believe when it comes to the scriptures. And what Jude is saying is that from defiling the flesh, they move to rejecting authority. And then from rejecting the authority, they move even to blaspheme the glorious ones. They have no problems to do all these things because they have no fear of God in their lives. And Jude now is saying, in the last part of verse 8 and verse 9, they defy the flesh, reject the authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. And then he contrasts these people with the example he gives of Michael. And he says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. And Jude is saying, now, look at this contrast. These people reject authority, are coming in the name of God, and yet you have this example of the angel Michael. When even dealing with the devil, he could not even blaspheme or say something blasphemous about the devil. And the point of Jude here is that these individuals who claim they come in the name of God, they are teaching in the name of God, cannot even see the examples God has laid in His Word about how to deal with one another and even how to deal with celestial beings. They speak evil of even the glorious ones. Now, Jude does not explain why these men blaspheme the glorious ones, and uses a very interesting example of the archangel Michael. And Jude is basically quoting from the book, The Assumption of Moses, a book that is believed to have been well known by his audience. Now, by Jude quoting from that book, he's not trying to support the scriptures, but he's reinforcing the truth of the scriptures by quoting from the book that was well known by his Jewish audience. And his point by quoting that is actually saying, look, even the archangel Michael did not presume to be the final authority himself. Even when he was dealing with the evil one, he appealed to the highest authority, who is God, and he says, may God rebuke you. And he's saying, but yet these individuals don't have a problem to be the final authority themselves. And yet even this angel, Michael, appealed to the highest authority, and that's God. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon says about this verse. What does this refer to? I'm sure I do not know. I cannot think it refers to anything recorded in the Old Testament, but to some fact known to Jude, who here speaks by revelation and records it. We believe it and learn from it that when an archangel disputes with the devil, he does not use hard words, even against him. For hard words are an evidence of the weakness of the cause which they are used to support. Hard arguments, softly put, are certainly effective weapons, but it takes some of us a long time to learn this, and generally, in our younger days, we wear away our own strength by the violence with which we use it. Now, what is Spurgeon saying, and what's Jude's thrust of comparing these men with Michael the archangel? The lesson of Jude's argument is this: that these religious impostors have no problem even blaspheming against demons or against evil spirits. But he said, but look at the example of Michael. Michael did not presume to blaspheme the evil one, even when they were fighting of the body of Moses. Like I said, he's quoting from outside the scriptures, from the book called The Assumption of Moses. Now, what the lesson that Michael is bringing to all of us, and the lesson we must learn, is this: that even when we are dealing with an evil being or an evil person, we must not become the final authority. God is the final authority. God is the judge, and God will judge. God is the one who knows, and is the one who's going to judge rightly. And this is why Michael says, the Lord rebuke you. He's appealing to the highest authority, even in dealing with the evil one. Well, let's think of it this way. What Jude is trying to say, or to bring this lesson to us, is this. Imagine you come home from here, you go home, and then you find a thief inside your house, trying to help himself with your things. Even that person means no good. They came to steal your things. Don't become the law yourself. Even though the person is evil, you are not the law. Take that person to the police. That's God's authority, God-given authority. Let the police deal with the person. Do not determine the kind of punishment the person deserves because they're stealing your things. Always appeal to the highest authority that God has given us in his land. Now, in the case of Michael, the highest authority was God himself. And even when dealing with the evil one, Michael appealed to the highest authority and said, may the Lord rebuke you. And Jude is saying here, that's how Christians should behave, that's how Christians must respond. But these imposters, that's not how they respond. They take things in their own hands and begin, they have no problem even blaspheming the glorious ones. But for us, we have authority, and you must appeal to that authority. God is our highest authority. And God himself has instituted authority within the land. And even dealing with an evil person, take them to that authority. And Jude shows us that this is the progress. This is the course of the rebellion of the religious imposters. They begin by defiling themselves, then rejecting authority, and then blaspheming the glorious ones. And in the third place, let's look at the consequence of their rebellion. What is the consequence of their rebellion? Verse 10. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, unlike unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. And Jude is basically saying the consequence is that they corrupt themselves, and in the end, they are destroyed. That's the consequence of their rebellion. They corrupt themselves, and they are destroyed. And again, Jude begins verse 10 with but. A contrast. He's dealt with Michael and how Michael appealed to the highest authority. And he says, but these people blaspheme all that they do not know, all that they do not understand. And he's giving this contrast, and he wants to see how that those who make so much noise, saying they come in the name of God, they are teaching in the name of God, but when you look at their lifestyles, they are doing things, blaspheming things, they themselves do not understand. And the word understand there means to gain a firm mental hold of something. And it was used in acquiring skills in crafty works. And so for you to understand what is happening, you really need to get your hands dirty and have a feel of what needs to be done for you to have that skill. And that's the word that Jude is using there when he talks of they blaspheme all that they do not understand. He's saying they talk about things that they themselves do not have a hold, a firm hold, or a firm knowledge of these things. They simply make noise, and when you listen to their argument, you realize that they're actually talking about things they don't understand, and in the process, they are destroyed. They corrupt themselves, and they are destroyed by the very things they seem to be promoting. Saying the consequence is that as they continue to blaspheme what they do not understand, in the process, they are destroyed. Listen to what John MacArthur says. Religious imposters are intellectually arrogant and spiritually ignorant, in that they do not know because they have been blinded by Satan. And spiritual matters are beyond their unregenerate capacity to understand. End of quote. And this is exactly what Jude is saying. They talk about things they do not understand, and they respond like animals that respond by instincts. They are following things they don't understand, and in the process they are being destroyed, because as they continue to promote what they don't understand, the result or their consequence is that things begin to corrupt themselves, and in the process they begin to destroy themselves. Because on one end they are talking about thus saith the Lord, on another side they are doing things that are contrary to what God says. And so those who understand the scriptures, and when they look at their lifestyles and begin to question the things they are teaching, and their own congregants begin to realize that there's no consistency in what is being taught, they begin to destroy themselves, because they have to either undo what they had said in order to maintain or continue with the same congregants. And Jude is saying, they blaspheme. These people blaspheme or they did not understand. And they are destroyed. Now you see, Jude is very harsh in the use of his words. Or his language is harsh. And he's doing so because he wants to show the church of the Lord Jesus Christ how dangerous these heresies are to the church of God. And he wants to show us in the use of this language that they are like unreasoning animals who understand instinctively. He's saying that let's heed the warnings that he's giving us. Because if this continues, the church of the Lord, the name of Christ, is being destroyed by these individuals who are teaching what is contrary to what God says in his word. And he doesn't miss his words. He wants the church of God to be awakened to this reality and to see the danger that this heresy is doing, the havoc that this heresy is doing. How, as a pastor, encourage people to bend their Bibles? How would they know that what they're being fed is from God's Word when they don't have their Bibles right in front of them? Or have we forgotten what happened in 2014 in South Africa when a man of God, Pastor Daniel, asked his congregants to go and eat grass? And when he was asked, he tried to quote from John 10, where the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, "My sheep, hear my voice." And was basically saying, this is what the Bible says, and these are my sheep, and they've heard my voice, and they've responded, and they're eating grass. And brethren, for us to leave our families, our friends, our neighbors at the hands of such men clearly shows that we've lost the love of God for the world in our lives. For us to simply continue enjoying the fellowship that God has given us and simply once in a while wink at what is happening elsewhere, it means that we've lost the love of God for the world. We no longer care if the world perish, as long as we are okay. And this is the warning that Jude wants us, what Jude is sounding to all of us, that these things should not become normal at any time. We must continue to sound the warnings to the churches, to one another, so that the word of God will not only continue to spread, but people realize that there are those who have come in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ who are preaching a different gospel and they are turning the grace of God into sensuality. We can't leave our friends, relatives and neighbors at the mercy of these tricksters, these fraudsters, who make so much noise, and yet that noise does not transform in any way. Our response, in light of what is happening, that we must always remember the warnings of the apostles. We must always remember the warnings of the scriptures. And we must refuse to walk in the ways of the ungodly, or stand in the ways of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. We must stand for the truth of what the Bible teaches, even if it means you being the lonely voice. Because truth matters. And the glory of God is at stake. And you do realize that even those who teach false doctrine have the potential to gather followings. They have this potential. They are very deceptive. They speak very well. But for us is to continue to heed the warnings of the apostles, the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, beware of those prophets who come in sheep's clothing, yet inwardly they are wolves. And one way to do this is to be like the Bereans who continued to search the scriptures to see whether what was being taught was correct. Another way is for us to continue praying that God establishes biblical solid churches across the world where the gospel will be preached, where men and women will hear the sound preaching of God's word, and their lives will be transformed. Now is not the time for us to give up on the works of mission, on the work of missions. Now is not the time for us to give up on giving towards missions. Now is the time for us to pray that God establishes solid churches across the world where the message from the pulpits will be that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And that lives will be transformed. Oh, that God may cause us to see the work we have at hand, to preach the gospel, but also to see that biblical solid churches are established. Amen.